Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll read verses 5 through 9 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. While you're turning there, I'm going to read one other verse to you. You're going to 2 Peter 3, 5 through 9. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 2:11 to you, and it reads, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Now, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, we'll read this responsively. "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that within was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." And let's finish on verse 9 together. Ready? "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, thank you that in your infinite wisdom, you knew we needed a place like this. Lord, never again in history will this exact crowd be assembled this way. That means for this service, you have something very unique for us. I pray that we would listen to the man of God as he speaks to us, change our hearts, change our minds, change our lives, so that we could do more for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, the sermon is entitled, "Don't Be Ignorant." Don't be ignorant. In a moment, we will look again at a scripture or two, but I was thinking of some of the stories I've heard of ignorant lawbreakers. You've read or heard them about the man robbing a bank, and he walked in and he handed the teller a note saying, "Give me all the money, put it in a bag and hand it to me," and then he walked out and escaped. But he was caught within about 30 minutes. Somebody asked him, "How in the world did they catch you so quickly?" Come to find out, the note that he had handed the teller was written on the back of one of his very own deposit slips. I'd say that's pretty ignorant. Then my wife and I, we were talking, and we had somewhere read or seen something about a fellow that was robbing a convenience store. And he rushes into this convenience store, and he demands all the money, and then he goes to race out. And when he gets to the front door, he gives it a push, and it won't open, and he gives it a push, and it won't open, and he thinks, well, evidently they had pushed an automatic lock. He hears an alarm going off, and he realizes, I'm stuck. I can't get the door open. They have locked it, and he sits down, and the police show up and arrest him. When the police got there, they just pushed the door right open. And the guy scratched his head, and the police officer said, "You know, it says pull, not push, dummy." And all he would have had to do was to pull that door. He was pushing when he should have been pulling, or pulling when he should have been pushing. And I would say that's a bit of an ignorant lawbreaker. You know, if you're going to break the law, well, I guess for the law-abiding citizen, thank you for being stupid if you're like that. But we need a little sense about what we do. The sermon title, once again, is, I call it, "Don't Be Ignorant." Now, I want you to understand the word ignorant, it is a Latin word. It actually comes from the word ignore. Ignore. Now, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." You better be careful not to ignore the devices of Satan. 2 Peter 8:3-8 says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Don't ignore the fact, folks, that when we get to heaven, we're going to live there forever, and you ought to be careful that you're busy serving Him down here, realizing our days and our time down here is very, very limited. It's worth it. You say, well, I'm busy for God. It's worth it. You know, we're just going to live down here a short time. Don't ignore that fact. If you ignore that fact, you'll get all caught up in this world, and you won't be planning for the next. And that's what the Bible's teaching there. Don't be ignorant. Don't ignore that. 2 Peter 3:5 says, for this they willingly are ignorant of. Here, the Bible says somebody was willingly ignorant, willing to ignore something, willing to be or remain ignorant. Surely, you and I as Christians should never have the attitude that we're willing to be ignorant. We shouldn't willingly ignore some things. Now, if I could, this morning, I noticed that the Apostle Paul, on 5 different occasions, warns people not to be ignorant. Now, if Paul, a great pastor and preacher, uses the phrase, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, if he uses it 5 times, I would expect that maybe I should help you in these 5 areas and say, hey, let's not be ignorant in these 5 places. 5 times he says, don't be ignorant, brethren. Don't be ignorant, brethren. He uses that specific word and that specific wording. So I would guess that God's telling us to have some knowledge about these 5 areas. Don't be willingly ignorant, and especially about these 5 areas. These areas must be areas where ignorance is common. Maybe it is that I can tell you this, the devil wants these areas to be ignored. And God points out, let me tell you something, he said, don't be ignorant about these things. Don't you ignore them. Don't you let them slip. You stay on top of these things. These areas must be areas where Satan wants us to remain ignorant. These are areas where we've got to be reminded, maybe every once in a while we need to push that reset button. Once again, I call the sermon, don't be ignorant. And in a way, it's as if there are 5 little sermons tucked within this one, but the concept of not ignoring these things draws them all together. Paul, 5 times, saying, don't you ignore this, and don't you be ignorant of this, and don't you let the thought of this slip. It's an important part of your Christian life. Let me show you what I mean. First of all, I think in the scripture we see that Paul says to people and to his people, he said, don't be ignorant about my desire to help you. Let me show you what I mean. I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, verse 15. It says this. This is Paul speaking. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purpose to come unto you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Paul here is speaking to the church at Rome, and Paul is saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about my desire to help you. When I read that, this is what I grasp. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant about my desire to help you. And I think, in a way, Paul was saying, I hope you understand, the preacher is not your enemy, he's your friend. We're not on opposing sides. But you'd be amazed how many people can develop that attitude. They can develop that attitude. Now, you have to understand, it is my responsibility to preach righteousness and holiness. It is my responsibility to guide the church as an under-shepherd under Jesus Christ. That's my responsibility. That's my job. But we're all on the same side, folks. If you've got the attitude the preacher's against you, that's a lie. Somebody lied to you. I am not against one single person in this church. And somehow the devil came along and has convinced you that preacher's out to get me. You've been listening to the wrong people. You've been listening to the devil. You've not been listening to the Spirit of God. And Paul here says, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, how oft times I purpose to come unto you. And if you read those scriptures, Paul is trying to say to the people, don't you get this idea that we're on opposing sides. I'm here to help you. I'm here to assist you. I'm here to try to meet your needs. And Paul said to this church in Rome, I want to come unto you. I am burdened for you. I want you to know how I feel about you, and I want to serve you, and I want to meet your needs. And don't forget now, he said, don't be ignorant to this. What's he saying? Don't ignore it. Do you ignore the fact that the preacher's here to help you? Do you ignore the fact that we're not on opposing teams? Do you ignore the fact that my job is to help you to grow in the Lord? I'm supposed to challenge you about your Christian life. That's the best thing for you. Hey, let me say this. You know, our programs here at the church, they're not for the sake of having the programs. They're for your sake. We don't develop programs so we can go out and tell everybody we have programs. We develop programs in the church for you. For you, to help you. You think every time we develop a program for you or your kids that it makes my workload less? I don't get a bonus every time I develop another program. My pay does not go up. My workload goes up, and my hours go up, and my problems go up. Why do you do that? Because I care about you, and I'm trying to develop a church program that will help you and your family. And Paul said, don't you become ignorant of that thing right there. Paul said, I'm here to help you, and I'm here to serve you, and what we do is for you. It's not for the program's sake. You know, we don't have a bus ministry so we can show off our buses. We have a bus ministry because we care about the bus kids. We're trying to help them. We're trying to meet their needs. And to everybody that rode in here this morning on one of those red, white, and blue buses, I want you to know, this preacher loves you. And I think maybe you ought to know that this church loves you, but I want you to understand something. We pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars every year to put people on buses and give them a free ride in church. And folks, do you think that there's some organization out there that's going to give me an award for bringing in a couple hundred kids to tear up the bathrooms, to mess up the flowers, and to write graffiti on the walls? You think I'm getting an award for that? No, other people think that's stupid. Well, it's not stupid. We have a bus ministry because we care about people. That's why we do that. And don't be ignorant. The whole purpose is helping people. We have a missions program. Not because we have to. We have one because we want to. We want to help people. I know churches that don't have a missions program, and they keep every penny they bring in for their church. And they get more plush carpeting and fancier chandeliers, and their grounds are groomed by overpaid professionals. Well, you know something? We do without a lot of things around here. Why? So we can send money to the foreign field and help people and keep people out of hell that don't have the luxuries of America. But the program's for people. It's for people. You know, you may not know it. I hope you do. I think you'd be far stretched not to realize it. My sermons are to help you. I'm not trying to show off any Bible knowledge. And I know you scholars say, well, good thing you never do. It's fine. I do not mind being associated with someone being shallow if I'm feeding people and they're growing in the Lord. I'm not trying to show off any Bible knowledge. I'm not a theologian. I'm a pastor that loves people, and my intent is to walk into this holy desk and give you something that will grow you and help you to make it through tomorrow. I want you to be faithful, and I want you to serve God. I preach to help your life. I want your life to be more abundant, and I want your life to be happier. I'm going to tell you something. It gets old preaching on sin. It gets old being disliked because I stand up and say you need to separate from the world. It gets old. I can see why preachers put their tail between their legs and just let anything happen at the church. They stop preaching against the sin and they stop preaching against. I see why they do it. It gets old having the people that you love, that you're trying to help, mock and criticize you all the time you're trying to help them. It gets old. Just like some of you parents in the continual correction of your own children in an effort to say to them, I love you, I've got to teach you the difference between right and wrong, and that child rebels against you and fights against you, and sometimes you just want to throw your hands in the sky and say, well, go ahead and live any way you want. If you truly love that child, you will stand up and be repetitive about the difference between right and wrong. And let me tell you something. Don't ignore this. And Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. I love you. You won't always read it as that while I'm busy standing for right and standing for truth. You might not always read it as that, but it's the truth. I want to help you. You take the music that's sung around here, the special music, it's not just entertainment. It's not a talent contest. Its purpose is to help you because we love you. I want to help you in my counseling. I want to help you in your Sunday school class. Right now, we're learning a series on the doctrines of the Bible. I think you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. That's there to help you. It's there to help you. We have graded Sunday school classes to help your children. I want to help your children. That's why we have a King's Kids program. You know those people that work over there in that King's Kids program? They don't get paid to do that. They're trying to help you. I want to help your teenagers, and we have youth activities, and I want to help your family, and we have a Martinsburg Christian Academy, and I want to help you to become a better you. 42 weeks in a row on Wednesday night, we taught on the subject of Christian character to help you to develop your personal character so you'll succeed in life better. And just so you understand something, it's not all about, Brother Brett, this thing on, it's not all about this building. It's all about people. It's not all about those pews. It's about people and loving people. It's not about those chandeliers. It's about people and loving people. It's not about increasing the portfolio of the church. Fooey on that. Fooey on that. The whole goal is helping and loving people. That's what it's all about. And so the Apostle Paul came. And Paul said, don't be ignorant. He said, don't be ignorant of my desire to help you. Don't you allow us to find ourselves on opposite sides. You're the enemy. And again, I'll say to you, if you have the opinion that your pastor is your enemy, you're wrong, and the devil's lied to you, and you're probably bitter in your heart. Because I'm not bitter with anybody, and I love everybody in this church, and I am your friend, and I will help you. I will be your friend. And somehow the devil gets into the thing and gets it in our brain that we're on opposing teams. And that's not true. Don't be ignorant to this now. Don't be ignorant to it. Secondly, I see this. The Bible teaches us that we should not be ignorant about the devil's attack upon church leadership. I'll show you what I mean. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 8, it says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now, I used this scripture a few weeks ago. You remember I preached a sermon about the orange and squeezing the orange and getting the juice out of it. And it talked about the pressing that takes place here. I want you to understand, this is Paul telling what he was going through to lead the church. That's what Paul's doing. Listen, he said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. Paul said, you better be careful criticizing because until you walk a mile in my shoes. Say, well, Brother Owens, I'll tell you what I do. You may not know what you'd do until you stood behind this desk and preached to 1,000 people every Sunday morning and until you found out what's really happening on a very high spiritual plane where the devil hates your guts. When was the last time you had a full-fledged attack on you and your family and all the gates of hell, all the hordes of hell attack you with everything they were worth, trying to get you to die? When was the last time you faced that? When was the last time you faced something like that? Paul said, listen to what he says here. Our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. And it's talking about Paul, the leader, the pastor, and he said, don't ignore this now. Don't lose track that this happens. Paul here tells us how great the pressure was upon him. It says, pressed out of measure. You know what that means? He said there was no way to measure the pressure. The pressure, Paul said, the pressure I was under was off the charts, and the average human being would not understand that type of pressure. That's what he says here. He said, above strength. You know what that means? Paul was saying,
I did not have the strength to cope with the pressure I was under. It was above my strength. If it were not for the God, if it were not for the mercy of God stepping in and salvaging my ministry, I could not take the pressure that had been placed upon me by the devil and all the earth that wanted to destroy my ministry. That's what he's saying here. He said it's to the point that I despaired even of life. He said it'd be easier for me to be dead than to take this pressure. Can I tell you something? And I would not feel comfortable preaching this except for Paul did. Paul said, let me tell you not to be ignorant of the pressure that's on the leadership of the church. I guess you know this. Do you know that the devil hates your pastor with a passion? I could take you in the last year and show you two times I think the devil tried to kill me. I recently texted my wife, said goodbye. You say, well, why would you do that? Well, don't be ignorant. I love you. I want to do what's right. You know, the devil hates your pastor. I wish you could be aware of that. I wish you wouldn't be ignorant of it. Don't be ignorant. Hey, the devil hates the church leadership. Don't be ignorant of it. The devil hates the church staff. The devil hates the church staff. He'd like to destroy it. Don't be ignorant of that. That's what Paul's saying here. Hey, and some of you that are on staff, wake up and realize we're in a spiritual battle. And sometimes when the devil comes at you and things start going tough, you have to shake yourself and say, that's, the devil's out to get us. It'll help you to survive it. Don't let him, hey, don't be ignorant of it. When somebody in the church turns on you, let me say this to you. Welcome to the club, baby. Good to have company. When the Americans were fighting for their independence against the British, an American captain told his troops, you shoot first at the British soldiers with the most brass buttons. That's how he's explaining to his farmers with guns which ones to shoot at. You say, why? Well, those were the leaders. The one with the most brass hanging on them were the ones that were the leaders. And if you kill the leaders, the troops will be directionless, and then the troops will run and hide. The devil shoots at the leaders. Satan hates the leadership of a church like this. Hey, and don't be ignorantly used of Satan to be shooting at it. Paul said, don't be ignorant of your pastor's desire to help you. You're not on opposing teams. Paul said, don't be ignorant about the attack that comes upon church leadership. Are you ignorant to that? Have you forgotten that? Are you ignoring that? Somebody here might need to shake yourself a little bit and say, you know what? I've forgotten. It's the devil that wants to destroy church leadership. It's the devil that wants to do that. Do you think Jesus is out to destroy your pastor? Then who is? Who's behind it? And so, you know, I don't have an attack on me. There's not somebody in our congregation out to, well, not that I know of. If you're stewing right now, maybe something going on I don't know about. No, I'm not preaching this because I'm under attack, but it is constant. Don't ignore that. Paul said, don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant of this. Your pastor's your friend. He's there to help you. Don't be ignorant of the fact that then the devil is going to try to destroy him and all those that try to add to that program that's there to serve you and to help you. Don't you be shocked if the devil doesn't attack him and try to destroy him. Don't be ignorant of this truth. Don't ignore it. Don't let it slip. Thirdly, don't be ignorant about your need to keep going forward in the Christian life and in your Christian growth. I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Again, Paul says, don't be ignorant. You're to be growing. You're to be going forward in your Christian life. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, and I'll read through verse 4, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all your fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Here's what's happening here. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Be reminded that this church was full of baby Christians, and it was full of very carnal Christians. They're not really spiritual. They were religious, but not spiritual. Paul said, these carnal baby Christians, I want you to remember that the Jews who crossed the Red Sea and escaped Egypt, they were going to the Promised Land. The Promised Land, so you know, the Promised Land pictures a couple of things. First of all, when we sing about I'm bound for the Promised Land, it pictures heaven. But it not only pictures heaven someday, it pictures a heaven on earth. What is heaven on earth? That is being as close to God as you possibly can on this earth. When we get to heaven, we will be with him. On the journey between where we're at and heaven, we're to be as close to him as we can be. And crossing into the Promised Land on this earth is crossing into a mature, godly life and a godly lifestyle. You see, they were to cross the Red Sea. They were coming out of captivity. They were to cross the Red Sea and keep moving forward. They were to go through the wilderness and keep moving forward. They were to get to this place called Kadesh Barnea. But here's the problem. They passed through the Red Sea moving forward. They got into the wilderness and they stopped. They stopped growing. And Paul comes to these baby Christians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and he said to them, let me give you the example. Let me take you back to the Old Testament and remind you there's a group of people that should have kept moving forward, and when they got into the wilderness, they stopped going forward. And he said, don't you be ignorant of the fact that some of you have stopped moving forward. Don't you be ignorant. Don't you ignore the fact that some of you are sitting and spinning in your Christian life. Don't you ignore the fact that some of you used to be in drive, now you're in neutral, and you're just sitting there, and you're not growing, and you're not going forward. He said, and when these people that were to move through the wilderness stopped in the wilderness, they hurt themselves even to the point that when it was time to go to Kadesh Barnea, everybody that was over the age of 20 years of age didn't even get to go into the Promised Land. Why? They'd wasted so much time and so much growth potential that God didn't even let them go in the Promised Land. They wandered in the wilderness. There are some of you, I watched our dog Pupcake. I watch her when she's been out of doors and Mrs. Owens goes and lets her in, the dog runs into our living room and she chases her tail for about 60 seconds. You see her last night, Brother Ellswick, when West Virginia was getting beat by Auburn? We let Pupcake in and Pupcake started chasing her tail. She was full of energy, wasn't she? But she wasn't going anywhere. Some of you are like Pupcake. You're chasing your tail, but you're not going anywhere. I'm in church, but you're not going anywhere.
Now, you don't want to do too much of that, folks. That's not a good idea. Bad illustration.
Hey, don't be ignorant of your need to go forward for Jesus. Don't you be ignorant. Let me tell you this. I'm going to remind you of something. I'm your friend. And I am your friend, and I am here to help you. I am here to serve you. There should not be odds between you and I. Shouldn't be there. I don't want it there. See, I think there are. Come see me. We'll fix it. We will fix it. I want the right relationship with every single person in my church, and if you will talk with me, I will talk with you. I know that. And anytime I found out there was somebody that had a difficult time with me, I extend the hand of friendship. I try to sit down. I try to talk with them. I try to work that out. I've had people actually go, get away from me. What can I do about that? But let me tell you this, it is my job to keep you moving forward. Paul said, don't get the idea that I am your enemy, I am your friend. Paul said, hey, you better stop and realize the one that's trying to help you go forward is attacked by the devil to try to keep you from going forward. And then Paul said, don't you be ignorant of the fact that you ought to be going forward and the preacher is going to try to help nudge you to go forward. That's exactly what's happening here. That's exactly what Paul said. They were going from Egypt into the Promised Land. I'll tell you something. There are people in this room. If you don't start moving forward in your Christian life, some of you are hung up on some things. It's time to get off of them. and move forward. I'll tell you why. If you don't, you won't be around this time next year. You'll be gone. You won't make it. I've been helping people for a long time. You get on that one little thing bothers you that you don't like, you end up bitter, you end up angry, you end up back it over some stupid little thing. Move on! Grow! Step forward! Step forward, Christian! Paul said, don't you be ignorant of your need to step forward. There's some of you, you're chasing your tail like pupcake in the wilderness. Paul uses this example to say, I don't want you to be ignorant about your need to grow. So you know, you have not done enough for God yet. Everybody here, you have not done enough for God yet. Move forward. Move forward, Christian. Move forward, young Christian. Move forward, those of you who say, well, I've been sitting in these shoes long before you got here. Move forward. Move forward. You didn't ask me to come to this church so I could pat your head and rub your belly and tell you everything's all right. Hey, when I came here, I said, I want a growing, alive church that God's hand will be upon, and it is. Move forward, Christian. I don't care how long you've been in the church. So I'm 15, 20 years older than you. Move forward. Move forward. Don't ignore this truth. There's some of you, you just hung up. You're not moving forward. Keep growing, senior citizen. Don't die spiritually before you die physically. You hear that? You hear that, senior citizen? Don't die spiritually before you die physically. Keep growing, staff member. Keep growing. Keep growing. You say, well, I've got me a college degree. Who are we on a college degree? You can't get everything you need in this life in 4 years. College degree doesn't mean you've arrived. Matter of fact, it was given to you to show you how stupid you were. 4 years in college ought to tell a man that he's stupid and he doesn't know anything and he's got a life to live and he better be learning every day, all day long. Keep growing, staff member. Keep growing, successful Christian. Don't stop pushing forward, weary one. Move forward. Don't stop pushing forward, confused one. God is not the author of confusion. See, I'm just so confused. God's not the author of confusion. I think it's Dr. Russell Anderson who said, if I were driving from Kentucky to California, and I ran out of gas and I ran out of money, when my car stopped going because it was out of gas, I would get out at early in the morning and I'd push my car a mile to get myself closer to California. I'd climb in the back seat, I'd sleep all night and get up the next morning, I'd push my car a mile closer to California the next day. He said, I'd push my car until I got my car to California. I wouldn't sit there and whine. I wouldn't sit there and say, somebody come do it for me. Hey, it's time for some of you to push forward. Push forward. See, I want to be a good Christian, all right? Now let me tell you something. It's work. You're going to be history if you don't start pushing forward. You're not going to make it. Speaking of ignorance, you heard about the fellow that was stealing gasoline, doing it at night, end up at a place where they park RVs, went in, pitch dark, stuck his siphon hose down the whole gas hole and started sucking that old gas up, going to fill his 5-gallon tank. Said he fell over dizzy and backwards. The people heard him. The police were called, came in. Somebody said, what in the world? He stuck his siphon hose down the septic hole instead of the gas hole. You're going to steal gas, buddy. You better not be ignorant. The Apostle Paul, 5 times in the Scripture, Paul says, don't be ignorant of something. I don't think it's a coincidence that in the Scripture 5 times Paul said, don't ignore this. Don't lose track of this. Don't be ignorant, brethren. Obviously, this is something the devil would like us to be ignorant of. Obviously, then, this is something the devil would like us to ignore. Obviously, the devil would like us to get to live in our life and forget all about these specifics. Remember, the word ignorant or the word ignoramus, it comes from the fact that somebody is ignoring something that is imperative to their success. And I'm just here to tell you, if you get the idea that a pastor is your enemy, he's out to get you and destroy you, that's going to lead you to your demise. You won't succeed that way. If you lose track of the fact that the pastor and the devil attacks the leadership of the church, you miss something that is very, very obvious to even a baby Christian. And God said, you be careful now. Don't lose track of the fact that you're to be moving forward and don't get hung up and you keep moving forward like the children were wandering in the wilderness. They should have moved straight through the wilderness right on into the promised land and became mature Christians. Finally, that's the wrong word here. It starts with an F, but it's not finally. Fourthly, slip of the tongue. Fourthly, don't be ignorant concerning your spiritual gifts and abilities. Don't be ignorant about your spiritual gifts or your abilities. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ignorant. Don't be simple to this. Don't forget about this. You know, there are some of you sat in the pew so long, you have ignored the fact that you don't do anything for God. You're supposed to serve God. I'm glad that you come to church. Somehow in the faintest way, coming to church has something to do with serving God, but that is not. You don't get a whole lot of credit for coming and setting. I don't see anywhere in the Bible the spiritual gift of setting. If that were the case, the bigger your setter, the bigger your gift. That's not in the Bible, baby. Don't be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. God gives spiritual gifts to different people so they can fulfill duties in the church and in our service to God. Don't be ignorant to this truth. If you say, well, Brother Owens, I've only been a member of this church for 1 week, let me tell you something. Tucked inside you somewhere is something that God wants to use. You say, well, I've only been saved a short amount of time, but you were created for a purpose. You were created to serve God. You were created, and when God saved you for a purpose. He did not save you to set. He saved you to serve. And though you might have been saved just a week ago or just a month ago, God has a plan. He wants to use you. God wants to use you to serve him and to do something in the church. You say, well, I'm tired. Well, everybody's tired. We're on a journey, and sometimes that journey is difficult, but we're all to be serving God. And so, you know, you can't pay someone to serve God for you. So I gave some money. I'm glad you did. But you can't pay somebody to serve God for you. So, well, I gave some money to a missionary. I'm glad you did. And a missionary makes it possible for the gospel to be taken to a foreign land, something that you can't do. We're all to try to reach people in a foreign land. It's a responsibility of the Christian, but I got to tell you something. You're giving money to a missionary doesn't pay somebody to soul win for you. You say, I'm a member of a soul-winning church. If you're a member of this church, yes, you are. But that you're giving your money to this church does not make up for the fact you're to tell people about Jesus Christ. You're to use your spiritual gifts. Let me ask you a question. What spiritual gifts are you using? 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 Those of you in the balcony, what spiritual gifts are you using? Thank God for our men that work with the PA system. using their spiritual gifts. Thank God for the instrumentalists that help around here using their spiritual gifts. Thank God for those Sunday school teachers and assistant teachers using their spiritual gifts. I even thank God for those people. I think of the men that work out here in the parking lots as greeters, and they use their personality, and they're out there to greet and to serve. Thank God for that. The church of Corinth had gotten off track concerning spiritual gifts, and Paul pushes the reset button. He said, now don't you forget, you are created for a purpose. There's something you're to accomplish in your life and for God, and you should be using your spiritual gifts. What are you doing for God? You say, well, my husband sure is serving God. You're to serve God, ma'am. You say, well, my wife sure does serve God. You're to serve God, sir. You say, well, my mom and dad sure do serve God. Young person, you are to serve God. You say, well, thank God my kids, my child, boy, they're on that soul winning bus and win people to Christ every week. And my child's serving God. Mom and dad, you're to serve God. You're to serve God. You say, my church is really going somewhere. Where are you taking your church? Don't be ignorant about your spiritual gifts. Don't be ignorant about your responsibility. Hey, how do you contribute to the success of this church? How did you contribute to the success of this church this week? Are you spiritually living off the work of all the others in the church? So I like it. I like that music. I like that preaching. Boy, I like the way the yard is groomed and the carpet is clean. I like that. Somebody made it that way. I was thinking, one day I was in lineup here at Food Lion, had on the conveyor belt, hot dogs, bologna, and peanut butter. Health food. Right in front of me was this gal that she had steak and pork and chicken. And she pulled out food vouchers to buy it. Now I pulled out cash to buy mine. And I thought, how in the world does she get all that fancy Nancy meat and I've got hot dogs and peanut butter? And any hardworking person in here says, yeah, it bothers me a little bit. Well, does it bother you that somebody else made this service what it is today and you didn't contribute a thing? Did you come to eat? So I'll go down there, that preacher will feed you. Yeah, I'll force feed you sometimes. Who prepared the meal? Who prepared the music? Who prepared the pews? Who prepared the grounds? Don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant, Christian. You weren't saved to set. You were saved to serve. Get busy. Do something for God. Everybody can do something. And you know something? We make that available here. We have opportunities of service for people at every level. But I can tell you right now, there's somebody sitting right here. If you don't get what you want in the service, you're not going to serve at all. I see it happen all the time. Everybody can do something. It's not a spiritual gift to set, but to serve. You see, the Lord said through the Apostle Paul, don't be ignorant now. Don't ignore some specific truths. They're very important to your Christian growth and to your success. First of all, don't develop the attitude that the preacher's out to get you, because I know here, that's not true. And I'll fight you over that. That's not true. I am your friend and I love the people that are a part of this church, and don't you let the devil tamper with your mind. Paul said, don't you be ignorant of how I've tried to help you and serve you and that I want to be your friend. He said then, secondly, don't you be ignorant that the devil is going to attack the one that is trying to help you and to serve you. And would like to take them out of the picture. And then thirdly, Paul came along and said, you better make sure you're moving forward in your Christian life. That's exactly what the devil would like to keep you from doing, is moving forward and serving God in a greater way. Let me make you a little promise. If you think that you can go to a church that will cause you to grow in the Lord more than here, where the pastor will motivate you more than I do for going forward, and the pastor will try to make opportunity for you to go forward, let me do this for me, please. If that church is out there, go there. If there's one out there that will help you more, and there's one out there that will feed you more, and there's one out there that will love you more, go there. By all means, I beg of you, go. Go. I want you to. I love you. I want you to grow in the Lord and go find it. I'm doing the best I can to push this thing as hard as I can and do everything I can to help you to be a successful Christian. But if you can find better, I won't be mad. You won't be talked bad about behind your back. Go! Why would we want to stop you? Why? Why would anybody that's a decent, sincere Christian try to stop you from going someplace that will love you more, serve you more, and do more for you? But if you're going to stay, get on board. If not, go. I'm okay with it. I'm going to be mad at you. If you want better than what we can provide, okay. Okay. But if you're going to stay, use your spiritual gifts. Get involved. Don't sit back and criticize everything that's going on. Say, hey, it ought to be done this way, it ought to be done that way. Look, how about you go somewhere that will use everything that you have and the pastor will just turn all that over to you. Come on, I don't say that arrogantly. It's okay. And then finally, Paul said, don't be ignorant concerning the rapture, the second coming of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13, it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. There's a fifth time Paul talks about our not being ignorant, our not ignoring something that's very important to our success. Paul writes here to the church in Thessalonica. This is a church that he personally founded. He tells them he does not want them to be ignorant about the truth of the coming of Jesus Christ. Don't ignore it. See, folks, you're going to need that truth. You say it's hard. Everything you're talking about here this morning's hard, Brother Owens, I know, but the day's coming when we're going to get out of this mess. And until then, we've just got to keep doing what's hard. But the day's coming when we're going to go on to glory. And we won't have this flesh to contend with. We won't have this world to fight. The day's coming. But he said, look, I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact I am coming again. That ought to give you the hope and the desire and the dream and the drive to keep on going until I come. Paul tells them that Jesus came to earth and died for man. He then went to heaven and prepared a place for the saved. He is coming again. You see, in this church, the church of Thessalonica, someone died and the people wanted to know what happened to those who had died before Jesus came back. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those which are asleep. In other words, those that died, I don't want you to be ignorant about what's going to happen to them. You see, a saved person dies, his body goes to the grave. His spirit goes to be with Christ. When Jesus comes again, the body and the spirit will be reunited, will go to heaven. And one day in heaven, we're going to get a glorified body. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. If Jesus comes back and you and I are born again Christians, if he comes back to this earth while we're alive, he'll call us up into the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with him in the clouds. That's how it works. The lost, though, will be left behind. The lost will be left behind. It'll be a terrible time of tribulation upon this earth. Nasty time. Oh, I don't know. You say, but the ones, is all that's happening around our world a part of it? Everything that's happened around this world has been a part of it ever since the time God predicted that it would happen. But don't be ignorant. Some of you are living it up in the world. Don't be ignorant. Jesus is coming again. You ignore it and go out and do your thing and go out and party and get high and live like an animal. Let me tell you something. You're going to be sorry. You're going to be sorry if Jesus comes back and you're in the midst of a mess of carnality. If he comes back on a Saturday night when you're drunk or high and a mess, you sure are going to be embarrassed. Don't be ignorant now. Don't ignore it. Hey, you say, that's right, Brother Owens. Well, how about those of you that are so deeply bitter and nasty and hateful on the inside? People don't know it on the outside. You got a drunk spirit, drunk in your bitterness. Wouldn't it be terrible for the Lord to show up and you have hatred in your heart and animosity and toward your brothers in Christ? The Lord said, don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant of your pastor's desire to help you. You're supposed to be on the same team. Don't be ignorant that the devil then will attack that leadership. Why? Because that leadership is there to aid you in your growth and going forward. And the devil can take that leadership out. Somehow you'll not grow like you ought to grow in your life. Don't be ignorant then that in that growth you're going to need to use your spiritual gifts and go forward and serve God. He said that it's hard and it's work, yes, but the Lord said, don't be ignorant of the fact I'm coming again. I'm coming again. It'll all be worthwhile. There is a heaven. You are going there. And just so you know, when you get to heaven, you won't just sit. You'll serve. You'll serve. If you're not saved, I recommend to you that you get saved today and let this process start. Let this process start. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.